So, we are up to the third of three, on Mavir al-Bashal al-Bayez Nikra Gazlan. We talked about Rabbi Meir's position, we talked about Chum's position, and tried to moderate both of them to be sort of towards the, somewhat towards the middle, in terms of the liability of a person who misuses an item that has been rented to him. And we talked about, we talked about where you do an unapproved use that is obviously harmful. We talked about an unapproved use that is not obviously harmful and in fact is a minor deviation. And then the intermediate case, the case in which it's an unapproved use that isn't obviously harmful but does in fact result in harm. And we talked about Shlichus Yad. That was a nice discussion. Took up the bulk of our time last week. In this, we talked about as well what level of stipulation is necessary in order to say this is the approved use and this is the unapproved use. We gave the polar cases of where nothing was stipulated. We gave the cases where an exclusion was explicitly stipulated. And then the intermediate case where the owner identified a use for the item without formally excluding anything else, and the case in which the owner said nothing, but the renter was the one who mentioned the particular application. So I wanted to do one more topic within this issue of rented items before we shift and talk about tzedakah and gifts and donor intent. So the last case that we wanted to talk about is the issue of shlichus yad, subletting without permission. So I rented an apartment and was not licensed to rent it to somebody else, and I did it anyway. So the questions that we want to deal with are, number one, the question of what happens to the original rental if you do that. Does that disqualify your original rental? And then number two, the sublet. Is that effective? Is that ineffective? What is the status of the subletting that you did? So the Machane Ephraim deals with the question of the status of the original rental. If you take a look at source Aleph, it's in his She'ela, Simon Vav. And he bases his discussion on a rush in Kiddushin. The rush in Kiddushin deals with a case in which a man borrows a ring and then uses it for Kiddushin with a woman, saying that what she is receiving, the shava pruta, the pruta's worth that she is receiving, is the use of the ring until the end of the loan. In other words, he's not cheating. He's not saying, I'm giving it to her as a gift when he has no right to do so. He says, we get to use it for the next few months. The problem is, what if he wasn't licensed to do that? I didn't give him the ring saying that you could use it for Kiddushin. You're assigning it to somebody else. So Machane Ephraim is in Aleph. He says, Vator hevi b'shem bali iter v'rash dam v'kadish b'tabash she'ula de'ika man da'amar da'ave mikudeshes ba'i anash she'chola hi l'shtemushim b'koli me she'elasa. The Turin of Ezer quotes the bali iter, quotes the rash, to say that in fact the Kiddushin works. V'arash kasab, and this is where I underlined, v'arash kasab dimnasnu lo rishus la'ashila la'achker v'odiyato le'isha harezu mikudeshes. The rush stipulates that you have to do two things. Number one, you need permission from the original owner to lend it out. And number two, the woman has to know that this is in fact the arrangement. She can't think that you're giving her a present, otherwise this is mekachtos, it's fraud. But that's the position of the Rush, is that the Kiddushin, it seems to say, the Kiddushin actually requires permission to rent it out. We're going to talk more about that Rush. We're not done with that Rush. But based on that, the Machane Ephraim continues. L'fiani is daiti nira. Debaha pligi. He says, I think this is the machlokas. Demanda amar mekudeshes afilu lo nasnu lo rishus lahashgil. According to the view that the Kiddushin works even without Rishus, in other words, the Bala Iter, Smira Lei Kemosha Kasavnu Leel, Dim Avar Ashawal Vehishal Akhir Masha Asa Asui Vein Motzi in Miyadur Shalshani, that his position is that in the event that you sublet it, the sublet is valid. We're not going to say that the original owner takes it away from the second guy, and therefore the Kiddushin works. Even if you weren't supposed to do it, it's valid. Don't do this at your wedding. kiddushin with a borrowed ring. Don't do that. It's one of the questions they're going to ask you under the chuppah. Is this yours? The barash svirale dechosh lo nasu lo rishus lahashil lo zachsa bo haisha kadesha tiskadesh bo. The rush's position is no. If you didn't get permission, it doesn't work at all. And here you go. Sharei yachol lachzor lahotzi miyada mitam de ein ritzoni shebu don't be at acher. I don't want it. I don't want you to give this away. And according to this, according to the Machane Ephraim, the position of the Rush, in fact, is that the Kiddushin will not work because your secondary rental, well, I'm going to say it even stronger, not only is your secondary rental invalid, but even the original rental is now invalid. We're going to come back to that momentarily. But the Rush seems to be saying, as understood by the Machane Ephraim, that not only does the Kiddushin not work because you were not licensed to do it, therefore your sublet is no good, but also the original rental or borrowing or whatever it is now void because you violated the terms of the agreement. Whether you want to call that Shir B'Kinyan or whether you want to call it tonight, I leave to Rabbi Naftali Bar Ilan and Rosam and Chaim. Yes, Jerry.
Is this different because here the guy's doing a mitzvah? And the nicha, you know, a person's nicha for somebody to do a mitzvah.
So that's an interesting question. I will refer you back to the shiurim that you were at a year ago when we did Kiddushin, and the question of whether Kiddushin, in fact, is a mitzvah. Right? That was a nice long discussion. We spent quite a few weeks on that issue of how to look at it. Okay, I remember about as much as you do from the shiur. No, I don't. I don't remember half as much as you remember from the shiur. But I'm not sure. That's an interesting question. That people want a mitzvah done with their mamon, we generally assume is only true in the event that doesn't come at a cost to them. Right? The reason why it's okay for you to pick up my talus when I leave it in shul is because the assumption is when you put the talus back down, it's going to be the same as it was before. Whereas if I have a sefer and it's fragile, then we don't say that I'm okay with you doing a mitzvah with my mamon. So maybe the ring.
Yeah, she'll probably look after it better than he would.
He's still going to get it back.
He hopes he's going to get it back.
And she'll look
people lose rings all the time.
Better than he would.
Well, I guess if you say Aaron's only shape with Don Gadacher, it's the very fact that someone else has it is something that's.
Well, that's. Right, so that's really the question,
like,
though. Because Nikla the Inish seems to defeat.
They're
the
like one
them.
Now.
Right. I'm not going to go further into this question because it's an interesting question, but it requires really, like, if we do it, we have to do it properly. This issue. You cannot claim Ishto Kagufo in this regard because it's only for Kiddushin, not for Nisuin. That was a joke. So the question here is this. The Machane Ephraim is positing that according to the Baal HaItur, the second rental or whatever it is works. And according to the Rush, not only does the second one not work, even the first one is now void. Let's talk more about this, whether the first one is in fact void as well or not. So the first view is that's what it sounds like right now, that he's saying the first one is void, and therefore obviously the second one is void as well. So sorry, let's talk about the sublet and whether that's actually ineffective. So view number one is that the sublet is effective. Remember that the Rif paskin against Rabbi Meir said you're not called a Goslin. That would seem to be consistent with this. And the Machane Ephraim takes that from the Rif. Take a look at source base. Masha Amru in Ashol Rashi Lahashol Tzarech Levarer. Im Avar Ashol Veishil La'Acher Im Yochol La'Achzer Lahotzi Miyado Shasheni Mitam. David Tzun Shevik Don Abiyad Acher. He says, when we say that a borrower is not allowed to lend out the item to somebody else, does that really mean that the owner can take it away from the second guy? So the theme Mashkasav Harif Zal, as I underlined, the Mashamur and Ashur Basha Lahashil Hudafka Lechatchila, according to the Rif, that is only Lechatchila that a borrower is not allowed to lend it out. Avalam Avar Balasa Lomikri Gazan Delo Kamelan Rabbi Meir, but if you did it, you're not called a thief. We disagree with Rabbi Meir. So Hayanira Lomar Gamkin Deina Shoala Rishon, oh, Abailim Yacholim Lahutim Yadoshala Shoala Shani. That means the second guy gets to keep it. Right, like the Baal HaItur. And that would be the position of the Baal HaItur. So that's one view, is that the secondary rental works, at least b'di'evit anyway. It's going to be valid. The second view on this is the owner of the item can choose to invalidate the rental at will. And And this is what the Machane Ephraim said within the Rush, right? If you go back to the what I underlined at the end of Source Aleph, Sharei Yachol Lachzor Lahotzi Miyada Mitam De'ei Ritzoni. Yachol, he could, if he chose to do so. That's what he seems to say in the Rush. And in fact, take a look at the Rush himself in Source Gimel. Ubesefer Adin and Shiaser Ben Moshe Hakohen Zakasa B'tshuva Achas Hamakadosh B'Davar Sheula Mekudeshes V'chei Nimtza B'tshuva L'Rabbeinu Shimshon Zalshi Mekudeshes. Right, that's the Rush who the Tur quoted. V'ani Omer, I say Im Hishilu La'atavaz As Man Yadu V'Nasu Lo Rishus La'ashkila. Notice there was Rishus La'acha V'Kadosh B'Azeh Yishev Ahudiyo Shehi Sheula B'Yado Adzman Poni. So you had the information. It was all public. That this is it was transparent. Umasra Lashim Mekudeshes B'Ano Hashimush V'Kishut Shaduch L'Eskashi B'Adzman Ploni. Her use until such a point in time. So Shaman and Yesh Banas also Kishut Shava Pruta Mekudeshes. Right? If it's a Shava Pruta, then fine. Even though she doesn't actually own the ring. If he's given permission, then it's okay. Now, the truth of the matter is that we have a problem here. Because the Rosh, in his comments to Bava Metzia, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but the Rosh in his comments to Bava Metzia quotes the Rif. The Rif took the view that the rental is effective. The Rosh over here is saying it's invalid unless you're given permission to lend it out. Right? So he's saying that it's not effective. Right? Am I racing a little too much here? Yes? Okay. No? Okay. Again, our problem is this. The Rosh in Bava Metzia, who I really should have quoted on the sheet, quotes the view of the Rif. The Rif saying that at least b'di'evit your rental is fine, mm-hmm. right? Your secondary rental is going to be fine. But in Kiddushin, as you see in Soros Gimel, and as Machane Ephraim quoted, he says it's only fine if you have permission. So now I don't understand. Would the real Rush please stand up? So the Truma Sadeshin asks this question and addresses it. If you take a look at Source Dalet,
where is the Rif who puts where the Rush was?
It's in Pisgei Bava Metzia Gimel Vav.
Thank you.
Not sure why I didn't bother to bring it. This is from the sheet that I made up for last week's shiur, so I'm no longer responsible to remember what I had in mind. The Truma Sadeshin has the following in Source Dalet. Sheila, Reuven Sachar Hagora Mishimon Avor Beis Dinarin. Reuven rented a belt from Shimon to dinar. Sheyagor Osav Yiskashi Bavi Me'achatunav Imcholot. He wants that as his costume for the wedding. He says it's going to look really nice on me as we're dancing, so I'm renting this pretty belt. Because Sheyahalach B'Mecholos HaChagora Haisa Masnav. And as he's out there in the dancing and he's wearing this pretty belt, Big Shemi Menu B'Sula Achas Sheyashi. There's a girl who sees this and she says, oh, that's such a nice belt. I'd like to wear that for the dancing. He says, if you want it, that's fine, but it's going to cost you. You have to be my wife. She says, sure. How this fits into our discussion last year about Kiddushin without Shiduchin in advance and all of that, I think this is probably a no-no. Sure enough, he had witnesses and said, wow, this is great. Is this for real? Is that actually working? Not because of our problem of a non-serious Kiddushin, but our problem is that it was a rented belt. It's not really his. So he goes through this and he says, "V'hadda kasev ashiri." The fact that the Rush wrote, "V'nasno la rishus lashila la acher," right? The Rush that we saw in Gimel, that you had permission to lend out the ring. Hayanirolomar de'ein das hashiri sheim lo nasan lo rishus la hashilo. He does not believe that without permission it doesn't work. In other words, he does not believe that permission is required to eliminate the double negative. This is probably why I didn't bring it, because of the next line in the Truma Sedeshin. He passed in the name of the Rif. Right? So clearly he doesn't believe you need rishus in his comments in Bava Metzia. He didn't say that. The kevin de lo mikri gazlan b'hachi holu musara leben da. Since he's not called a gazlan, because he gave it to somebody who is going to guard it properly, imkain hare kitcha bosa hana kisha chiesh la ba shalakach schara. He says this is legitimate. But Ashiri did not gazel lashir shnasel l'rishus. Then why did the Rush say they gave him permission in his comments on kiddushin? But only about it being lechatchila. Dekayatchila is devarav. He says the position of the Rush is in fact that lechatchila you need rishus, but b'diavad I'm going to paskin with the riff. That's the way the Truman Sadeshin takes it. Whereas, as we already saw, the Machane Ephraim in Beis disagreed and says no. The Rush actually takes the view that the Kiddushin does not work in that case, and because it's cancelable. So we have two different views of the Rush. But either way, we have two perspectives. Perspective number one is that the sublet works. Perspective number two is the sublet is reversible by the original owner. And then perspective number three is that the sublet doesn't work at all. Not that the owner can cancel it, but that it is not effective at all. This is the position that Aram Rutenberg in Hay, quotes from the Ravan. Reuven hisker bayis a levi la'aser shanim. Reuven rented out a house to Levi for 10 years. The nasan the levi kolas chuvah shal yot shanim, and Levi paid up front the entire 10-year rental fee. He lived in it for 2 years. The kanalo levi bayis ach, and then he bought a different house. The nicholas bo, and he moved into the other house. The hisker osa bayis l'shimon, and he rented out the original one to somebody else. That's your sublet. Reuven towing l'shimon mata osa b'beisi. The owner says, "What are you doing in my house?" The shimon meishiv mi levi schar tipshes chav milcha. Shimon says, "Don't bother me. I got it off of Shimon. Shimon paid you. I mean, I got Levi. Levi paid you." Reuven meishiv ein ritzoni shtiyah b'beisi, and Reuven says, "I don't want you in my house." Avad Levi hasocher ma'osav. Levi lost the rental that he paid up front. That's Levi's problem, he says. Lefisha shina v'avra daito shabalabayas. You violated the agreement. V'chihechi demaskir bayis l'chaveru v'nafal ein chayav la'amid lo bayis acha v'gam eino chayav la'azir schoro. He says, just like if you rent a house to somebody else and it collapses, you don't have to provide another house for him. Keinami heichu diyotze me'ilu v'nabayis. So to here, he left the house. Right? Eino maskir chayav la'azir lo sachar shenasana. You don't even have to give him back his rental payments. That was his problem. He shouldn't have done it. So the Ravan, he's quoting here, as you see at the end, says the second rental is meaningless. That's his position. The Nesivos HaMishpat also believes the second rental is meaningless, but for a different reason. The Chok Yisrael wants to link this to the Nesivos versus Achilles Yaakov that I mentioned last week. He says that the idea of the Ravan is that the renter only has limited rights, as opposed to the framing of the Nesivos. If you take a look, in Vav, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Hiniach Lamavim Parashu'ula Mishtam Shibbaka Yimei Shei Lasa. If Yisomin, right, children of someone who passed away, had a cow that their father had borrowed, they can use it until the end of the term of the loan. And the Nesivos comments in Zion, L'chara Kasha, Dahala Rambam Le'el, Disvira like Gurugare in terms of the level of Shmira Havi Pshia, Am Disvira like Shoal Asr Lahaskir. He says the Rambam seems to say that if you borrow something and then you put it in a position where the person to whom you transfer it is going to guard it in an inferior way, right? You transfer it into a position where the guarding is going to be inferior, you've ruined the arrangement. And so in the case where the father passes away, now it's going to go to the kids, it's going to be an inferior shmira. And he says, as I underlined before, that wherever you're not able to rent it out, the rental reverts to the original owner. They go back to, if a renter is not able to do something, that right is still held by the original owner. So the Chok Yisrael takes the position, if you take a look in Ches, this is Dr. Vigoda again, that you can tie this back into the original distinction that I said last week about the Kehillas Yaakov and the Nesivos. Das haravani sheschiris hamishna ein lakol tokev. The Rabban says your second rental has no power. Gisha zugoreses kanirish eschuso akinyanish lasocher hischus mukbeles. That the renter originally received only limited rights. V'yesh nesivos shebahen ein lasocher akorach hamishpati lasos iska b'schiris. And that there are circumstances in which he doesn't have the ability to do what he wants to do with it. But the Nesiva sober gamu she'en kol tokef le'iska b'schiru shlo kedin ela sheledido mistaber shenimok l'kachu she'aschiru ena makna l'socher z'chus kenyan is klal ala rak z'chus ishis. He says that the reason is because the renter never acquired any ownership, so to speak, in the item. It's just a personal affiliation with it as a product of the original owner's affiliation with it. I don't want to spend time negotiating and debating this. I'm not sold on the Chokhmah Yisrael's position, but I thought it was interesting the way that he tried to do that.
But in that case, that's odd, because he was a shoyl, and then he rented.
In which case?
He got it for nothing.
Yeah.
The Nesivos.
The Nesivos' case, yes.
So he's making money on the kindness of the shoyl.
In the case of, well, in the Rambam's case that he's referring to, right? But it's not just that; he's also reducing the level of shmirah because the shoel has great responsibility that the socher doesn't have.
So I wonder if it has to do because he got it for nothing. Why should he be
able to do it? And the answer is because you lent it out to me.
You should have
the position of the machne and the difference between the rush and the rest.
Yeah.
So does that boil down to whether or not? Or the amount of rights that the renter has?
The amount of rights.
What rights does the renter have?
That's what the connection is, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So it's interesting because in your typical commercial lease, it'll say you've got the renter wants to sublet it. So your typical lease will say that you have to ask, get the consent of the landlord, but it can't be unreasonably withheld. So there is that tension also that is. Mm-hmm. It's got some rights, but it's still the landlord's say. But he's got to do it reasonably. So,
I want to discuss it further, but I'm going to.
I guess what both ties in with this too. Like, is it a worse? Are you guarding it less? The second show.
So wait for what's coming right now in the Rama. Take a look at source tests. Because what I want to do is figure out, so where does this leave us? Liza, we've seen three different views, right? We've seen a view says that the second rental works, at least b'di'evet. We've seen a view that says the second one is reversible by the owner. And then we've seen a view that the second rental doesn't work bichlal. What is the position of the Ramah? And the answer is, we're not sure. Take a look at source tests. You rented a house from somebody, and then you turn around and rent it to somebody else for more money. You're paying $1,000 a month, and you rent it out to somebody for $1,300 a month. So in the event that you have permission to rent it out, so you get to keep the excess. You made money, good man. And if you don't have permission to rent it out, then the extra $500 is going to the owner. In other words, the owner is going to get $1,500 a month. I'm sorry?
But nevertheless, in this version, we're allowed to sublet.
Correct. Well, that's the problem here. Who does the Rambam agree with? If the Rambam agrees with the Rif that it's valid, then the renter should get to keep the excess, should be able to keep the $500. It doesn't matter what he got permission for. At least b'di'evet, he should be able to do it. If the Ramah follows the Machne Ephraim's understanding of the Rush, right? The Machne Ephraim of the Rush said that the Rush takes the position that it's cancelable by the original owner, then either the owner gets everything, right? Or the owner gets nothing, depending on whether he cancels the sublet. Right? It's either everything or nothing. But if the Ramah follows the third view, which is that the second rental is nothing, so then the owner gets everything. Not just the excess, but the owner gets everything. So I don't understand what's going on. So the Chok Yisrael offers the following resolution for it, which I brought you in Yud Aleph with nice underlines, but I'm going to say it outside of the text. He says, you have to remember where the Ramah is coming from. The Ramah is coming from the Nemuke Yosef, which you see, I brought you in source Yud, which is talking specifically about where the second rental is to a family that is larger than the original tenants. In other words, the original rental was to a family of six, And then the family of six is renting it out to a family of ten. That's what we're, that's the case that the Rama is commenting on. And so Dr. Vigoda suggests that the Rama is only talking about that case. And if that's true, you can make this work according to the first view, or you can make this work according to the third view. He says you can make it fit with the view of the Ravan, which is the third view, that the new rental doesn't work. Okay? So within that view, the use here is not prohibited. In other words, it's the same type of use as your family's use. You are gonna live there as a family, they're gonna live there as a family. Only adding people is prohibited. Adding people is why they had to pay you an extra $500, we assume, because there were 10 people instead of 6 people. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that's prohibited. Turn that over to the landlord. That's one way to take it. However, you could also look at it within the view of the Riv, who said that, no, your rental is fine. The renter never acquired the right for a 10-person family to live there, only for a 6-person family to live there. So he receives the rent from them that's equal to his own, and then the extra, the right for the last 4 people to live there, reverts to the owner. But his is 100% fine. That's what he says. It's based on a Machaneh Ephraim Schirus Yates.
So he's saying that Lo Hayah Rishus Las Chiro really means he had Rishus, but
just not the Schirus Rishus for these last 4 people, for a family that's larger than his.
And why can't we just say very simply, he's following the Ravan's view that it doesn't work at all, in which case his Schirus is batel, so he doesn't owe his amount, and he only has to give the full amount to the third party, which ends up being Moser LeBailim.
Taking the Ravan's view that the second rental is now meaningless.
Yeah. And the first rental is invalid now.
The Ravan's view, if I take that view that in fact the whole thing is
right. That the whole thing is invalid.
Yeah.
So now he no longer owes rent to the Bailim. Only the people that are living there owe rent to the Bailim.
Only the people who are living there
now owe rent to the Bailim.
Owe rent to the
because they're on the
then line. Why are the Bailim only getting $500?
No, they're getting $500 plus the guy's rent, quote unquote, which is can be transferred over.
But that wasn't the language of the Rama. Right? The Rama was Hamoser Lebailim.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about the language, though. At the end of the day, the same amount of money.
But when you say Hamoser Lebailim, doesn't it sound like you're saying that he's only getting $500
plus the $1,000 that this guy is getting? Meaning, other than the language.
Work at all, but if it doesn't work at all, then he should get all the $1,500.
He is getting $1,500 split up between two different people.
Why not? Why not?
How would he get 2.5? He has the first guy's rent, which is $1,000. Mm-hmm. And then the guy rents it out, it's invalid, but he got paid $500, so he needs to give the $500 to the owner. So the owner, at the end of the day, has the $1,500.
That's basically what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm saying mathematically, the owner is getting the same amount, whether we view it that he's only getting the difference.
Because I promised him rent, and I owe it to him. I am the first guy,
right?
I'm the family of six. So I promised him rent. Whether I live there or not, I have to pay him rent, right? We talked about that last week. So therefore, he should get, according to the Ravan, he should get my $1,000 and their $1,500.
Right, according to Ravan, sorry, but according to one way of learning the Rosh, to say that it's completely invalid for both, no? Didn't we say that even not the original Baals in that case? I thought we had a sheet
that it's not the original. It's not mine.
That ruins it.
Right.
That cancels the...
Oh, but cancel it entirely. No, then right. I would agree with you.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
Cancels
sorry, I
made
a choice.
Okay.
But the Baal nonetheless let the second renter stay there. And he's changing it again.
Well, then he's changing, right.
Yeah, so that...
If he lets...
But Azer's, your case wouldn't really work.
Why not?
Because if everything's cancelled, halakhically, that's the din. But now the ball lets...
We're talking about money here. How much money do they have to pay?
It shouldn't be the original rate.
Correct, it's not.
Well, he's being multiple on his strip price because he's letting the guy stay there. You can't have, like, your cake and eat it too, I don't think.
I'm not following why that's having your cake and eat it too. It's just
well, if the rental doesn't work and the owner says, but you can stay there,
yeah, it's sort of like,
then what he's trying to do is effectively get paid for the rental that was voided,
right,
and get paid again
for the second one, which also was voided.
Yeah,
so we're just saying what happened after.
Where's
that
money coming from? There's more to be said. If I prepared this week, I'd be more agile with this. But I'm more focused on the gifts and staka piece of it. So what I'm going to do is actually pause this and then move into the gifts and the staka one, because I don't feel like I'm doing that justice. Fair?